Our text for this evening's meditation is from Romans chapter 13, these words, "Owe no one anything except to love each other." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, you do learn something. You do learn something at those national parks. Those national historic places have all those plaques and stuff you're supposed to read. You know the ones. They're placed in front of a hole in the ground or a bit of something that used to be more of a something than it is now. Those plaques that are placed in front of something, And they tell you something about it. For example, in Jamestown, Virginia, Jamestown of Pocahontas and John Smith fame. Now, it turns out there was not so much singing and dancing back then in the early 17th century in Virginia than Disney a few years ago led us to believe with that movie, Pocahontas. Well, obviously. And of course, we can read all about the real story of Pocahontas and John Smith in a myriad of places. What caught my eye, however, last week on one of those plaques, one of those displays there at Jamestown, was this little fact. This little fact. After all the singing and all the dancing was over, and Virginia was being settled by colonists from England, about 80% of the people that came from England to Virginia, 80% were indentured servants. That is, they were people who had signed a contract with a company in England to work under that company in Virginia for 7 years, after which they'd be paid a relatively handsome sum of money and be released from that contract. Well, that scheme went belly up. There was no money to give the thousands that went. And after their 7 years of service, the company didn't know what they were going to do. So instead of giving those people money, they gave each person 100 acres of land. Now, some of those people pulled their 100 acres of land together into bigger plots, and that's how the Virginia plantation culture began. Who knew? Who knew how that's how it started? Now, I bring this up, this indentured servitude of British colonists in 17th century Virginia, because this or something like this is what the Apostle Paul was getting at when he, guided by the Holy Spirit, urged us to owe no one anything except to love each other. In Luther's lectures on Romans some 1,500 years later, Luther pointed out that Paul was referring to becoming entangled with someone financially, so that we then fell under their control, under their command, and we no longer could then serve God or our neighbor in love. And this makes sense. It makes sense. Especially when this verse comes after a long paragraph there in Romans about how we need to pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. But if we were to owe no one anything, how can that be? Well, that paragraph had to do with government, worldly government, government instituted by God under which we all across the world actually live. Yes, the governments around the world differ. They differ in makeup and in authority and efficiency, whatever, but they are governments put in place by God to which we owe all these things. No. No one gets out of that. That honor and taxation and all of that. What Paul is encouraging us to do, however, is not to create a relationship with another person whereby they gain control over our lives. In other words, a relationship into which we voluntarily become a metaphorical slave to someone. So the old mob films from the 40s and 50s, right, where someone takes out a loan from the mob but can't repay it, and so must then do what is demanded from them by the mob. Luther references 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Another such statements Paul makes, so Luther. Paul makes with reference to metaphorical slavery, whereby if one involves himself in temporal matters and in business, negotiations with men, he will lose his liberty. For he must cling to those people with whom he does business. And if he wants to remain faithful, he must make mutual confidence, serve the business operations. Thus, in one way or another, people of this kind become captives to each other, for they become distracted and occupied with temporal matters and cannot direct their attention towards God. So Luther in those Romans lectures. Of course, this would not need to refer to business matters alone. It could be family matters, friend matters, hobby matters, matters where we voluntarily place ourselves under someone else's control to the extent that we can no longer serve God as we should. Here, introspection is needed. Are we doing that? Have we enslaved ourselves to someone or another for some sort of worldly benefit at the expense of the expression of our faith in Jesus Christ? If so, let us repent. Let us repent and embrace the servanthood encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and that is the servanthood by which we love another person truly and rightly. Now, oddly enough, this servanthood is actually a freedom, and the best type of freedom. What? How can servanthood be freedom? Well, servanthood can be freedom when we serve someone in love, because that service in love simply is given. It's bestowed. But the servanthood of love is not a servanthood that's required or demanded or owed, but one that simply gives, simply serves, because, well, such a servanthood lacks nothing and receives nothing. Such a servanthood of love is a servanthood that through faith in Jesus has received already everything it needs. That is the forgiveness of sin, a clear conscience, a hope for the future, and the simple confidence that all will be provided that is needed for this life and the life to come. Such a servanthood of love needs nothing in return. Thus, it's free. It's not obligated before it's given, and it does not become obligated because it has been given. I'll repeat that. It's not obligated before it's given, and it does not become obligated because it has been given. Now, this is really huge. Gets right down to the heart of our relationship to another person. For why is it we interact with another person? To get something from them? Because we feel obligated to them in some way? I worked as a butler, yes, as a butler for a short time in a large house in Fort Wayne, Indiana, while I attended the seminary there. And in helping the lady of the house one day to prepare for a great social gathering in their home, I asked why they held such events. And she said, because they were obligated. They were obligated. In that they were invited to so many of such parties thrown by others throughout the years, they themselves were obligated also to have one. And so I asked her what would happen if they didn't have such a party. And she responded that they would cease to be invited to the others. So what is it then which drives us to hang out, to participate, to join, to take part? Is it loving service? It's a loving service. You know, the only one who got this perfectly right was our Lord Jesus Christ. His service to us was just such a service. It was a service It was not a service which said, "Now that I have died for you, you must die for me." It was a service which said, "I love you and will die for you and will rise again from the dead for you and ascend into heaven for you just so that I can send my Spirit to you so that you then can be like me. You can love each other for love's sake in freedom." You know, I know we don't talk about this a lot, do we? I mean, we grouse about the government. We rail against slavery. We throw around the idea of love here and there, but at the end of the day, we're faced with the fact that when we look at another human being, the one standing in front of us, we are urged simply by the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to love that person. That is, to serve them in the freedom of a love which already has everything and requires nothing in return. But of course, our old Adam takes another tact, doesn't he? When our old Adam looks at another person, he thinks, is this person appealing or not? Is this person worthwhile or not? Is this person dangerous or not? Is this person useful or not? Is this person usable or not? And here's where love itself can get way out of whack, right? The love of our old Adam, the love which will do anything for another person, if only that person will love the old Adam back. Here's some song lyrics from the early 1990s. I don't know why I'm thinking about songs after being in a truck for 60 hours on vacation. Song lyrics that just kind of popped into my head. From Bryan Adams, for those of you who are keeping score. "Look into your heart. Oh, you can't tell me it's not worth trying for. I can't help it. There's nothing I want more. Yeah, I would fight for you. I'd lie for you. Walk the wire for you. Yeah, I'd die for you. You know it's true, everything I do, oh, I do it for you." Oh, you can counter, that's just a great love song. Well, a love song by someone apparently who will enslave themselves metaphorically to another person if that person will love them in return. And I know, that sounds really great, doesn't it? But we all know people who have actually done this. Who have given themselves up and given their lives up. And they've even given up their faith in Jesus Christ if only a certain person would love them. And we say, well, that's love. No! It's just the old Adam enslaving himself for some sort of return. That's what's happening there. Harsh? No, real. Real. Owe no one anything except to love each other means simply to love one another with the love which Christ himself expressed for us. Now, maybe hearing this this evening, you have never thought of it before, and with a bit of introspection over the last few minutes, have discovered that you indeed are doing such a thing even right now. How then, so the question, do you free yourself? Well, through prayer. Supplication and courage, strength. Prayer and supplication for courage and strength to live in such a way, not entangled with others out of obligation or need or fear, but serving others daily with the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.